The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. Two features on this week's show. Later we'll dip into this week's Radio Days Europe in advance of a much longer collection of interviews next time. But first to the headquarters of the newly rebranded Wireless Group, formerly UTV Radio. On the ground floor in Hatfield, South London, the soldering irons are out at the new Virgin Radio. Upstairs, Talk Radio is poised to launch alongside Talk Sport and the new Talk Sport 2. Three new stations on the new DAB National Multiplex. So a busy time for Wireless Group National Controller, Liam Fisher.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So, Liam, it's the most exciting thing you can ever do, launching a radio station, and you've got three to launch. So how do you feel about that?
Three in a matter of weeks. A mixture of complete panic, excitement, anxiety, sleepless nights at the moment, caused by these radio stations and a new child as well. So it's perfect timing on that score to not get any sleep whatsoever. Look, it's the most exciting thing, I think, in radio for a generation, this suite of new stations, not just ours, but across the network as well. And I think for us, you know, creating two brand new speech radio stations, bringing back Virgin as well, I think it really puts us at the focus of what is happening in the radio industry right now.
So let's go through them one by one, if we may. What's the rationale for TalkSport 2? Is it just TalkSport 1, only more of it?
TalkSport 2 is there. It's a non-competing service to TalkSport. So there isn't a rival breakfast show. There isn't a rival drive time show. It doesn't exist like that. So if you're fed up with Alan Brazil, you don't go over to TalkSport 2 for something different and another person. What it's there for is it's there for live rights. So we recognise that TalkSport is largely dominated by the most popular sport in the UK, obviously football, and a lot of Premier League, a bit of Championship in there, a lot of European football as well. But it doesn't give us much of an option to do a broader spectrum of sports, so rugby union, rugby league, golf, tennis, cricket, what have you, and predominantly live rights as well. There's some magazine programming in there as well, but it's predominantly there for live rights. So
it's a little bit like Five Lives Sports Extra?
It is like Five Lives Sports Extra, but the difference is they're sustaining content 24/7. So whenever you tune in to that station, there will be something for you there. And it will be a mixture of live rights. I mean, live rights will dominate most of the time, but where they don't exist, when we don't have the rights at certain points of the day, there'll be some magazine programming. There'll also be some recut-up audio from TalkSport as well.
So. Is it helpful to you when you talk to the sports rights holders that you've now got another radio station where you can put coverage?
Yeah, and you know, our credibility is rising all the time, and 15 years now of TalkSport existing gives us good leverage as well to be able to approach sports bodies and say to them, look, you know, you can see what we do largely for football, but you can see what we do for sport on the radio. You know, we talk about it endlessly, we preview it, we talk passionately as the football fan talks about sports as well, and we can give that level of coverage to you, whether it's rugby league or rugby union or golf or tennis. And what we found is that the sports bodies are keen to get greater exposure as well, that's beyond just being on a subscription TV channel or just a few lines in the papers and things like that. So that's what we're there for, and we've had a really good response to that.
And have you found advertisers and sponsors keen to get on board with it, even though it's, you know, in inverted commas, only on digital?
We have, and I think the you know, for TalkSport 2, it's again, you know, moving off the back of the success of TalkSport and the establishment of TalkSport as well. So what we found is that people are responding really well to it. Obviously, there's brands that associate themselves with certain sports and certain competitions within those sports as well. So they're keen to get their name and be able to activate their sponsorship of rugby league or rugby union or what have you. So it's been very positive so far, yeah.
So there's TalkSport 2. I suppose the jewel in the crown is Talk Radio. When you conceived the idea, where did you think it fitted in terms of the other speech radio stations in the UK? I mean, how does it compare to LBC, to Five Live and to Radio 4?
I think for us, it's an easy thing to say, but to try and be different. What we didn't want to do is we didn't want to just copy what LBC does. We don't want to be a version of Five Live. We don't want to be a version of Radio 4. The resources for us are limited compared to perhaps a BBC national station. So for us, it was about personality, plenty of personality. a bit of comedy within shows. That's not necessarily sort of out-and-out kind of stand-up comedians hosting speech programmes, but just a lighter feel to programmes as well.
People like Jake Yap.
People like Jake Yap, Bob Mills has got a show as well, but individuals like Sam Delaney, John Holmes, Paul Ross as well, who can do the lighter stuff as well as be, you know, at the forefront of an EU referendum debate or talking about the crisis in the NHS.
Well, that's the difficulty, isn't it? How do you flip between, you know, the EU debate and then, you know, what's happened to the Oscars? It's always difficult to do that kind of gear change.
It is difficult. I think it's tougher with certain subjects, with kind of, you know, terror alerts. I think those are those kind of moments are you're kind of on one story. But, you know, I think conversations in pubs, conversations at dinner parties go quite quickly from talking about who you're voting in the EU referendum to did you see, you know, the Oscars the other night and what have you. So it's no real different to that. I think you've just got to be a bit clever about it. There's ways of moving it around at all. The individuals we're looking at and we've got in terms of the presentation kind of lineup are all able to talk about a wide variety of subjects and are skilled in being able to just gently sort of nudge it from one to another, which seems like a sort of one show kind of gear change. But
what have you said to Ian Lee about following the rules and keeping to the guidelines?
I mean, we've got a number of individuals at TalkSport who like to be left alone or like to think that they're being left alone, shall we say. And that's important. That's how I've always found is the best way to kind of run. Obviously, there are rules in place. I don't want to sort of alert Ofcom to just tuning in at 10 a.m. at 10 p.m. rather on the 21st of March. But Ian needs to feel like he's got freedom to do what he wants to do the programmes and the shows that he wants to do. He's been burnt a number of times with various kind of incidents, which I'm not going to go into here and now. But, you know, he's a hugely talented broadcaster. He's doing podcasts at the moment just in preparation for his new show, which is probably as much to benefit us as to benefit him and get his eye back in or his voice back in. And we've had such an amazing response to those that you know that the appetite is there for that kind of level of kind of late night, kind of no holds barred speech radio. And I think that's what it should be at 10 p.m. at night. It should be have a feeling of kind of the boss is away. I can get away with what I want.
But you're not going to be saying, please get me in trouble because I want to be in the papers.
Definitely not. No, that is not. I can categorically say I'm not after somebody kind of saying something and breaking an Ofcom rule in week one just to say, well, this is going to generate us publicity. I want him to generate us publicity by getting amazing callers on air telling their stories about, you know, just creating really good content, which is kind of shareable in a social media kind of sense. You know, that's what he should be doing. And that's what he's hugely skilled at.
When I mentioned this on Twitter, a number of people came back and said, ask him what the hell he's doing giving George Galloway a job. So shall we salute his indefatigability?
Nicely put. I mean, look, he's a hugely divisive figure, which probably is the biggest understatement I can give on the subject. However, he is a fantastic orator, and I know the subjects which he's most well known for. But actually, you know, when we met up with him most recently, which probably a couple of months ago now, actually, when I saw him, probably last, I haven't seen him recently. He was talking about the X Factor, for example. So he was talking about the fact that he never misses the X Factor. He watches it every week. He sits there and he's like getting annoyed as everyone else does. And we were sort of saying, this is what you should be talking about on the show. People are expecting you to talk about certain subjects. You will do those subjects. I know you will, and you should be doing those subjects, but not necessarily every week. And you should be doing subjects like this. You should be doing things that's kind of matter to you. Talk about your life. Talk about, you know, the things that are kind of interesting you, because A, people won't expect it. And also, he is fantastic at being able to talk with great passion about these things as well. So, I think he absolutely is divisive, but I would recommend for those that, you know, are willing to give him a chance, to give him that chance. And I think you'll be surprised by what you get.
So talking of personalities, you've also had to cast Virgin Radio, the return of the brand, not the return of the radio station as it was when it ceased. How did you go about casting that?
I think the important thing with Virgin Radio was to not be too caught up with previous incarnations of Virgin Radio. What we looked for there was presenters who had music credibility, who could do more than just talk about music, but also maybe had other strings to their bow, whether it's kind of a bit of film, whether it's comedy and those kind of things as well. The ability to give people a try who perhaps hadn't done radio before, but had the skill set to do radio, and we really felt that they were worth a shot. And I think in people like the Breakfast Show host Edith Bowman, we've got an individual there who's hugely experienced in radio. She's been, you know, Radio One, Six Music, and various other places as well. And actually, she can offer on the Breakfast Show a fantastically energetic show in the mornings. It's a female host as well, which is not something we actively look for and thought, well, this is a good sort of PR stunt for us to be able to do. But it isn't, it doesn't get away from the fact it is, you know, it is a nice thing to be able to do and to be able to have at the forefront of a brand new national music station.
Did you find when you were casting Virgin and indeed Talk that you had a lot of people coming to you? You had a lot of agents ringing you up saying, pick me, I'm over here, coach. Or was it a question of you ringing people up and saying, could I interest you in this new role?
A bit of both. We had a lot, you did have a lot of people come to us, as you'd expect. You had people not knowing what it was going to be like, so sort of preempting it and sort of feeling perhaps it would have an older feel to the station than it's ended up with. Hugely positive, and hugely positive in the sense of, you know, it went the other way where we would be speaking to agents and saying we're bringing back Virgin Radio, and immediately you'd see their eyes light up and they'd be remembering the Chris Evans stories and all those kind of things. And, you know, the idea of a blank sheet of paper and, right, you've got to come up with some presenters, and from an agent's point of view and music industry people, that they were sort of saying to me, oh, this is just like a dream job, setting up a fantasy, you know, music station from scratch. Oh, you've got to have this person, you've got to have that person as well. But the lineup we've got is absolutely perfect. It's absolutely spot on, and I wouldn't change one person in there.
And just a word about what was going to be Talk Business, and you've done a deal with Share Radio, yeah, and they've taken that spot. What was the thinking there?
Look, we won the license. We were fully prepared to go ahead with Talk Business, but the opportunity arose. Share Radio were very interested in being on the platform, and the deal was done to make that happen.
So you are going to have to wake up now and choose which of these big three stations you're going to listen to.
Plus
TalkSport, of course. Yeah. How on earth are you going to make that work?
Well, I don't know.
It's the
honest answer. I'm going to have four pairs of ears listening to it and feeding back to me. I've got a fantastic team in place, and I truly mean that. The heads of the stations, the production of the station is absolutely fantastic. So I know that everyone is shooting in the same direction that I want to shoot in as well. So, look, you're relying on people telling you the good, telling you the bad as well, coming back to you. I'm flicking between the stations. I'm listening to as much output as I possibly can. I'm probably going out on long drives just for the opportunity, just to be able to sit in a car and listen to the output for a period. You know, it's probably the biggest period for Talk Sport as well, coming up in the summer with the Euros. Every game of the Euros is going to be live on Talk Sport as well. So it's a busy time, but it's just a fantastic moment in this, with all these launches, to be able to just be a part of it.
And are you playing a long game? Are you planning to make these stations successful and money-making in 2, 3, 5 years, or have they got to hit the ground running?
Well, I think my bosses would say as soon as possible, but I think, there's a realism to what we can kind of expect. I think more what I'm concerned is about the sort of next stage of development. So as soon as, I mean, already, we've not even got these stations on air, but it's kind of working out what's the next plan, how are we going to take this on, because you get the fanfares around the launch, you get a bit of publicity around the launch, you get people listening to the station, but quite quickly then they're like, well, what you got next, what you got up your sleeve? So we need to be thinking about what's the next sports rights for Talk Sport 2, what's the next either talent signing for Talk Radio, or the things that we can do to just enhance our coverage a little bit more, and similarly with Virgin Radio as well. And there's plenty of options and plenty of things that we can kind of do, but I think the important thing first up is get the stations on air, get them sounding as fantastic as we possibly can, and then worry about that just, you know, a little bit later.
Liam, thank you for talking to the Radio Today programme. Everybody listening to this wishes you every success.
Everybody, really? Thank you. Thank you.
Maybe there's one or two in Salford.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Charles.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
News Now with Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. The big announcement at Radio Days Europe was about the world's first DAB-enabled smartphone. The LG Stylus 2 with DAB Plus goes on sale next month. There's also a Radio Player UK hybrid app, which will automatically switch between digital radio and internet radio as signal strengths change. Two more national digital radio stations have begun full programming this week. Bauer's Mellow Magic features Fran Godfrey on breakfast and Patsy Kensit on afternoons. And TalkSport 2 from Wireless Group kick things off with horse racing, cricket, tennis and football among the live sports covered. Still to launch on D2 before the end of the month, Magic Chilled, Talk Radio, Premier Praise and Virgin Radio. Staying with digital radio news, Chris Country's now on DAB in London. That's in addition to the local small-scale multiplexes in Manchester, Cambridge and Portsmouth that it went on air on last year. And hot on the heels of Radio 2 Country, get ready for pop-up digital station Radio 2 50s. It'll be on air for 4 days next month as part of the BBC Music's My Generation programming season. And we expect Radio 2 Eurovision to be back in May as well. The former JLS singer Marvin Humes is swapping evenings for lates on the Capital Network. Roman Kemp takes over the 7 till 10 Monday to Thursday evening slot. Marvin will continue as the Big Top 40 host on Sundays as well. And Hallam FM did the double at the IRN Awards, picking up News Team of the Year, as well as Reporter of the Year, which was won by Chief Journalist Laura Pennington. Lynx FM Group's Sean Dunderdale was given the IRN Gold Award for outstanding contribution to commercial radio news. And you can see the full list of winners at radiotoday.co.uk. And check out the new industry radio station In Radio for programmes of interest to anyone working in radio. Plus radio news on the hour, every hour. Those are this week's big headlines from Radio Today's newsroom. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stuart. And next week we'll have a collection of interviews recorded in Paris at Radio Days Europe. Some of them were shot in video and they're starting to appear on the Radio Days site. So do have a look there. But in the next Radio Today programme, we will include Helen Bowden, Kyle and Jackie O, the new DAB-enabled smartphone with Mike Hill and much more. As a taster, here's a conversation we recorded as the event wound up on Tuesday afternoon. We've got everything we need. We've got the sweeties. We're in the All In Media booth. Who've lent us their nice comfy chairs. The comfy area, we used to call it on Whistle Test. That's what it is here. Will Jackson is here from the Radio Independence Group. You've been live tweeting for Radio Today.
That's right. We've been covering it from social media and we've also had people doing audio around the conference and so on. It's been a really interesting couple of days.
And Laura Gallop has joined us. Laura, you were one of the next gen. Now, how were the next gen chosen?
So we were chosen. We had to make a 1 minute video, submit it onto YouTube as to why we loved radio and why they should pick us. So I made a very cringy 1 minute video of me jumping up and down in St Pancras Station saying, please take me to Paris.
So just for background, what job do you have?
Oh, I'm a production assistant at Fresh Air Production, so I research for podcasts, set them up, sort it all out. That's my job.
Okay, so we've had a day and a half. We've all been here for all of it. Let's pick out some highlights. Let's start with Laura.
Highlight for me, going to the podcast talks, Sarah Van Mosel, I think, from Acast USA, gave a great quote, which was that we don't have short attention spans, we just have short attention spans for crap. So just keep that in mind, know that, and then you'll always have good stuff.
There has been some interesting stuff about podcasts. I talked to Dean Capello. I don't know whether you went to his session from WNYC, and he was talking about how the important thing about podcasting was to not think of it as broadcasting.
Yes, no, it's a completely different medium, and I think that's the most important thing to bear in mind whenever, if you are going to make a podcast, because you can utilise it as a different medium, and that's how it'll be successful, because it's so intimate, and it's has a completely different understand and way that you can
people
get
just
into
listen
it.
To them differently, don't they?
They do,
so
and
we
they don't
have an obligation, I guess, to make them differently.
Yeah, definitely. And they don't want a rehashed radio program. They want a podcast. They don't just want a kind of add in on the end. Oh, this is your podcast. They want
and they
a special
want it to be rambly and with lots of rattling mic noises, which is a good thing that you just did. What with this being a podcast, although we are being filmed, I should say. That this will be on some kind of channel somewhere?
I'd have put extra makeup on if I'd known. I'm not used to this television laugh.
Okay, highlights for you, Will.
Well, let's start with the first day. Kyle and Jackie O, a brilliant opening session. You could tell the huge personalities that they are.
And the two big Australians talking about swapping stations.
That's it. And a great story about how they left Today FM and they were allowed to say goodbye. And then 15 minutes later, the news came out they were going cross town to the new Kiss FM. And the posters were ripped down in the studios. It was a lovely story and a great way to start. And then by way of contrast, shortly afterwards, Helen Bowden making an equally impassioned speech to say to politicians, don't interfere with broadcasting. An independent BBC is really important, and I'd 100% back her on that. It's vital that a well-funded BBC, secure in itself, continues for the next charter period.
How did you read Helen's mood? I thought the body language was all about, I might not be here for too long, you know, she sounded like she was sort of doing her valedictory rounds.
Look, the BBC are under an enormous amount of pressure. You know that, I know that. And I think this was a fight back. It was saying, no, hands off our territory. We don't want political interference. The BBC should be independent. And she was rightly being robust about that.
It's the Radio Today programme, and it's Radio Days Europe on the telly, and we're reviewing this year's conference. Laura Gallup, one of the things I found very moving was the stuff from Lena from Syria today and from Camilla from Poland yesterday about how we might be all kind of jaunty about radio, but actually on the front line there's some really serious work to be done.
I don't think we do understand when we're in our studios and we're making exciting, bubbly podcasts and radio programmes. We don't know what it's like on the front line. And what did you think?
Well, I thought they were both very moving, and they did make you think there is something important that we do here.
Sure.
Sometimes we're very cynical about it and we joke about the fact that, hey, we've come to Paris to do some work. Not really. But you know, at their level, it truly is a matter of life or death. Now, the other thing that always comes up at these conferences is we can't get young people to listen. So if I can find a young person, I'll ask them. Oh, here's one. why don't you listen to the radio?
Why don't your friends
listen to the radio?
My friends don't listen to the radio. I think they would say because they're too fast-paced. They're always going here, there, everywhere. They don't have time to listen to a programme, they say. So what they want is content that they can listen to at their own time, in their own space, and they want to be drawn in quickly to it. So they want a little teaser on Facebook that they can click on and go, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll give that a listen. It's not that they won't listen to long-form content. They just need to know that it's good enough.
And, Will, do you think this as an event has grasped the way radio's going? I think there are times when I feel as though I'm at a sort of heritage radio event that's got a few things like the next gen and a fancy app sort of grafted on.
I was going to say, we have to say thank you to Real World and Radio Sweden, who were the sponsors of the next gen initiative. It's a great start, and it was interesting that one of the next geners, when they were saying, what did you think of all of this in the session where they gave their feedback, they said, it is a bit old. I think it was Sam Bonham, actually, at that session that started talking about Snapchat. Now, I'm not on Snapchat. I think I'm reasonably up on my social media, but I'm not on Snapchat. Trevor, are you on Snapchat?
Let's talk to somebody who is. Are you on Snapchat?
I am on Snapchat.
What's the point of that, then?
So the point of Snapchat just seems to be sending silly pictures of your face, but I think there
as
is...
As long as it's only your face, that's okay.
There is a way, and I haven't even thought about it yet, and it was only just now that I've gone, oh, wow, maybe we could use this. And I think that's definitely what can we do with it. We need to just roll with these things rather than going, oh, no, it couldn't possibly work. We need to just try.
Somebody on your panel said that when they are asked by their friends what do you do and they say radio, that people are actually quite excited. I was quite thrilled about that. Is that true?
Yes, massively so. And particularly at the moment, saying to people that I've just got into making podcasts and things like that, they go, oh my gosh, have you heard this one? And you just think, yes, thanks guys. I'm so glad you're listening. We just need to keep making what they want.
And I think one thing I've taken away is the enthusiasm from young people, and I find this at the student radio conference that's coming up in a couple of weeks as well, is as strong as ever. They might not be consuming it in the same way that you and I grew up listening to a transistor radio under our pillow. Now it's listening to a mobile phone, But that enthusiasm for creating great audio, telling stories and having fun on the radio is still there 100%.
So lots more from Radio Days Europe next time. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Marconi made it, and we love it. Radio Moments.
We kick off this week with another commercial radio 40th anniversary.
And the first record up in the very first John Paul programme from Downtown Radio comes from, of course, Randy Edelman and a song called Concrete and Clay, 11 past 6.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning.
The first independent local radio station in Northern Ireland went on the air at 6 o'clock this morning. Downtown Radio is broadcasting from its studios in Newton Ards and hopes to provide a service for most of the province.
This means we must make a financial success of the undertaking because we have to stand on our own 2 feet.
Beneath my feet begins to crumble, cause love will never die.
Reaction was pretty much immediate, and by the first audience survey, Downtown had 7 out of 10 adults listening each week. The 80 saw expansion from the Greater Belfast area to cover the rest of the province on FM, and in 1990 came the split and Cool FM.
John Rossborough reflecting on the launch of Downtown Radio from Belfast this week, 40 years ago. Staying with commercial radio, and this week in 74, a programme director is appointed at Sheffield's new Radio Hallam.
We're saying hello to Mrs. Janet Horden of 17 Cavendish Avenue, Loxley, which is near Sheffield. It was her first wedding anniversary 2 weeks ago, but Radio Hallam wasn't on the air then. So we say belated wedding anniversary and lots of love to you from your husband, John. And we've got a record from the charts.
Keith Skews, who became the new PD at Hallam FM this week 42 years ago. It's 30 years this week since a change at Radio 2, and Ken Bruce made way for Derek Jameson on The Breakfast Show.
No, I was saying, you know, the first snow for 30 years over Hollywood.
Yes, well,
and here we are.
The world has gone mad.
Our day will come.
It's the greenhouse effect. No, it's not, apparently. They say it's been like this ever since the 16th century. We just keep forgetting that the weather gets now and again.
And if it's the greenhouse effect, how comes Alaska has had their worst winter for years?
Derek Jameson in conversation with Ken Bruce. Derek debuted on Radio 2 Breakfast this week in 86. He was a blunt northern press man. He lasted 5 years on that show, and he died 5 years ago. It's 10 years this week since XFM was launched in Manchester by GCAP.
It's a path you tread, the air you breathe, the team you support, the people you touch, the sights you see, the words you speak. Now it's what you hear.
The early moments of XFM Manchester, now Radio X. Sometimes it's when things go wrong rather than right which gets them remembered. Take, for example, this from 35 years ago this week.
We have a new entry at
number 26
from Darren Darren.
Radio 1, Britain's favourite.
Thank you very much for a couple of people who rang up and I didn't realise that I said it, but I mispronounced the name. I said Darren Darren and Planet Earth at number 26, when of course it should be, as everybody knows, Duran Duran. Sometimes you mispronounce things. I do apologise. None of us are too big to apologise.
It's amazing that's still quoted 35 years on. Tony Blackburn struggling with the new Duran Duran this week in 81. This week, 17 years ago, Simon Mayo broke the record for the longest show with 37 hours on Radio 1.
The last hour here with Pete Tong was fantastic, and that was the easiest bit because we finally realised that it was all possible. But between 3 and 6 in the morning, this morning, when everyone felt nauseous, that was really difficult.
And this week, 5 years ago, Chris Moyles broke the record at 53 hours.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Me and Dave are ruined this morning, I'll be honest with you. I can't lie.
I thought that we were going to pretend that we were fine.
Yeah, but we may as well just be honest now.
Chris Moyles in 2011. This week, 88 years ago, saw the first broadcast by the new BBC Dance Orchestra.
Now we'd like to play to you Memphis by Moon.
The new BBC Dance Orchestra under conductor Jack Payne. Jack became the BBC's director of dance music, and that made its debut from those Savoy Hill studios this week in 1928. And it was this week, 4 years later, in 32, that Henry Hall made his first broadcast with the BBC Dance Orchestra from Studio 8A in the new unfinished broadcasting house.
Goodbye, everyone, and here's to the next time.
1982 now, and BBC Local Radio arrives on our islands.
We now have a recorded message from the Lieutenant Governor of Guernsey, Air Chief Marshal Sir Peter Le Cheminot.
I'm delighted to have been given this opportunity of speaking on Radio Guernsey on its opening day. It was as long ago as July 1979 that the state's broadcasting committee was authorised to invite the BBC to establish a community station.
The arrival of BBC Radio Guernsey this week in 1982, it broadcast for 1 hour a day. And it launched with that recorded message. So, yes, even back then we had this curious obsession with irrelevant honesty. It's now 15 years since Chris Evans sold his Ginger Media Group, which owned Virgin Radio, to SMG for £225 million. The sale made Evans pretty rich, but as ever, wealth brought its issues.
Nobody told me no. Which was that their mistake or was that my mistake? I don't know. But nobody ever told me no, which is one of the problems. You know, I had the keys to the sweet shop and I was eating all the sweets, and then I wanted more.
Chris Evans. So with Michael Parkinson hosting his last edition of Desert Island Discs on Radio 4 28 years ago.
A castaway is often described as one of the new breed of Tory politicians.
The first ever news bulletin from Broadcasting House 84 years ago.
This is the BBC Home Service and here is the news.
Thank you, Stuart Hibbert. And Capital paying its first dividend to shareholders 38 years ago.
Have a happy day, on Capital Radio.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Hat tips also to Will Jackson, Laura Gallup, Liam Fisher and Stuart Clarkson. This has been a TDC production for Radio Today. Please join me for the Radio Days Europe special next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.